back to Noonan Sports Exchange, episode number 166. And we have our NHL trade deadline preview with the one, the only, Jake Zaretsky.
You know him, you love him.
Oh, it was a great time. You know him, yeah. You love him. We went on for an hour, so we'll try to be quick.
What's new? Usually, yeah, we went on for like 2 hours the other time. It was like a 2 hour podcast
That was absurd. I'm like, we had to like move everything back a week. It was absurd. Oh. But 1 hour trade deadline preview, talk about the Lindgren and VC trade, what possibly could happen with the Rangers, what possibly could happen with the Islanders, especially with Brock Nelson and all the other trades
could happen
that
around
went
the
on
league.
Around
the... There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. If it happens Friday, if it happens in July, who knows?
We'll see. Yeah.
Who knows? Talk Rantanen as well. And then if you stick to the end, college basketball question that Jake asked me, which is...
There you go.
Gotta love the hoops. Big month. This is March, baby. Big month coming up.
And the Cavs have 50 wins.
Conference tournament's coming up. Cavs have 50 wins. Knicks lose to the Warriors.
I was going to tell, man.
But no one has it worse than Dallas Mavericks fans.
Oh, jeez. They raised the season ticket prices too, baby.
Kyrie Irving out for the year, probably to pay. They just bumped up their insurance. That's kind of what it is.
They are fucked. Fucked.
They're a disaster. They are a disaster. We will dive into that. Football. Matthew Stafford returning to the Rams, which means the Giants.
In on Aaron Rodgers. Oof.
They've pivoted
you love it
to Aaron
you hate
Rodgers.
It, Sam.
We'll get to that. Davante Adams cut by the Jets. DK Metcalf requesting a trade. Max Crosby signs an extension with the Raiders. Good
Give
job
me that
by Tom
money.
Brady there.
I'll start tackling people.
Good job by Tom Brady over there. And then some college basketball. I did break the news of Duke's assistant coach.
Guy was that in his headstone.
Get that on my here lies Daniel Jack Layton. Broke Jay Lucas being hired by Miami. I broke that news, just letting people
stick
know.
Stick it on the gravestone.
Yep, I'm just gonna stick it on there. Also a very unorthodox way of hiring a head coach, but this is just how it goes now, because for whatever reason, the transfer portal opens during the NCAA tournament. So
who made that rule?
I think we need to go to the Supreme Court. That's how annoyed I am, if I'm being completely honest.
It's just pretty stupid.
We'll dive into college basketball, all that stuff. So let's get it started. What the hell was I just going to mention?
Football, baby. Matthew Stafford,
football.
Staying with the Rams.
There we go. Matthew Stafford, staying with the Los Angeles Rams. It felt like, and now it was all this happened during Combine Week, and it seemed like...
It was Giants or Rams in my mind. That's where
yes.
It was.
And then it was announced that Stafford was staying in L.A., and then Rich Eisen said... I believe it was Richard. It was somebody else, basically saying that the Giants were willing to pay the price for Matt Stafford, and it was just a Stafford decision of like, should I stay or should I go? And ultimately,
there's no reason to remove. You're old. You're finishing out your career.
It would have been nice, honestly. Like, if you were to ask me, Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers, I easily would have said Matt Stafford. Sorry.
Now just it's Aaron. Now, yeah. Now it's let me say Aaron Rodgers.
Now.
Welcome to my life.
And we'll get Devontae as well, probably, and just see what happens. But it also, it kind of feels like with, and now we turn to Aaron Rodgers, Giants are pivoting to Aaron Rodgers. It seems that they also might sign Davante Adams as well, considering that.
It's just the package deals,
Aaron
man. It's just where it goes. It's just where he goes. It's where he goes. It's the Pat McAfee deal. That's what it is.
Yeah. Tim, I do want to ask you, what, since these two franchise legends for the New York Jets are gone,
$200 and change against Jacksonville was pretty nice.
What was your favorite memory of Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers? This is a New York Jet. Was it McAfee?
$200 and change against Jacksonville, baby. Davante Adams called 225 yards against Jacksonville. That was the only highlight I've seen of those two people play together in the New York Jets. It was such a fucking dumpster fire. I had never been more You think of Rangers disappointment, and then you think of Jets disappointment, and the Jets disappointment completely trumps the Rangers disappointment by 70 yards. This was a joke. I mean, this was supposed to turn the franchise around. And what we saw last year, if it's something like that moving into this season, Stan,
yeah.
I'm done watching. I can't. It's been 14 years, dude. I can't watch football. Like, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, you can't.
I mean, Stan, I haven't watched a winning football team since fucking, who was it? It was Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2015. They lose to Buffalo to go 10-6 and don't make the playoffs. The last playoff team I saw was the Sanchez. That was the best Jets quarterback I've ever seen was the butt fumble. That's the best Jets quarterback I've seen. I don't know. I'm in the same spot I was 2 years ago. I mean, it is what it is.
And also the giant rumor that we're going to move up to one as well and draft Cam Ward. I don't know where that... Here's the thing. I like the thought process. Do I think it involves the right people?
No.
That's where I'm like...
Well, I mean, Sam...
So I'm like, let's take a time out here.
Let's talk about young quarterbacks. You go and get Cam Ward. The Jets, I mean, the report came out last week with Jordan Travis. They fucked up so bad that he regressed even more. I mean, he didn't even make a step forward. That's how bad they fucked up. So
he removed the Jets from his bio on Twitter.
He's a fifth-round pick. Let's pump the brakes. Let's pump the brakes. But he's a fifth-round pick. All right? You're not a fucking franchise quarterback. But the way they developed him is a joke. And if they go into this offseason with sort of the similar mentality, like, you know, we're creating a new sort of structure here, a new team, they're going to be 8-8, 8-9, 8-9. It's not going to be a good team. Not. So it is what it is. I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to the NFL season? No. Really. Exactly.
Especially after the end. And like I said this the other day, I'm like, my team is about to sign Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams while also trading up for the number one pick in the draft. And I'm not happy. Like that shouldn't be like that should be a situation where you're excited.
It's not 2016.
It's not 2016 anymore. 2018. I'll say 2018.
All right. But 2016 was just a great year for me. You know, I just go back to that.
Cleveland! 2016 was a great year in general.
I watched
the Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon dunk contest. I was like, you just had to be there.
When Zach LaVine was actually a cool NBA player instead of just an absolute overpaid, glorified, just like disgusting three-pointer. I mean, he's a joke.
That is true. What the hell was I just going to say? The other news. Oh, DK Metcalf demanding a trade out of Seattle. Here's the thing with DK. If you trade him, you got to pay him. That's the only way he's going to play. I've heard reports. LA, the Chargers. Sorry. I should be more specific with that. The Chargers are
the team
that I like is the Packers because there's not really a set number one guy on that. And there's not really a set number one receiver.
You can move a few guys there too. There's a lot of interchangeable twos and threes that you can move there to get another one guy. And DK would go love
with that'd be awesome. That'd be pretty damn good, especially with how loaded this division is. And you know, the Vikings, who knows what they're going to do with Darnold. The Lions, who knows what they're going to be, especially now with Johnson and Glenn gone. The Bears are somewhat on the rise. They just traded for Joe Thuney out of nowhere, and it didn't really take much, which is kind of concerning. So they've traded for two offensive linemen within the past 48 hours, something like that. It could really be a big opportunity, especially only winning one game against a divisional opponent, which is
Let me ask you this. He wants
not
out. Now,
the ideal standard in Green Bay.
He wants out. Where does Seattle look forward from this? Because you still have Geno under contract, obviously. And
I think you just got to let McDonald. Because here's the thing. I think that they looked good.
They're like the Minnesota Wild.
They were very. And when you get to our hockey portion
you'll know what we're talking about.
It's a very perfect example. The Seattle Seahawks right now are like the Minnesota Wild, where they're just a middle of the pack team. They're there. They're very meh. You know, Geno's good. Kenneth Walker's pretty good. And then other than that, you know, you just cut Tyler Lockett. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's probably going to be the number one receiver now, which is also big for fantasy value as well. Oh my God, I forgot another one. Now that I'm thinking of it, Debo is in my division now.
Yeah, well, I didn't.
Debo Samuels.
I forgot what you mentioned. In my division. That. Yeah. For the team you said was going to be a real problem in the future, somehow gets a lot better. You're fucked, man. I mean, you got two teams you're fighting with. You're fighting with to win a division. At least we only got Buffalo. But you got two.
They have Ertz, Debo, Zach Ertz, Debo Samuel, Austin Eckler, Marshawn Lattimore.
Terry McLaurin.
Terry's kind of on the back nine of his...
Jahan Dotson got traded? Is he still there?
He's on the Eagles.
Yeah, he did get traded. Yeah.
He got traded. Howie. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. My fault. He got traded to the other team you're competing against.
Yes. I think with Washington, it's... And I don't want to say... Here's the
thing. Okay, Stan, I know we Carolina reportedly reaching out to teams about Star before deadline. So Carolina is actually trying to move Rantanen. from the report I'm getting.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Anyway, we did talk some Miko Rantanen with Jake.
They'll hear it, but yeah,
we're like, they won't move him. No, they're calling.
But they want to move him. Yeah, they want to move him.
They're so stupid.
Dumbest franchise almost in sports.
I think with Washington, they got better. They got better. Do I think that their record will show that they got better this year or next year? I don't think so. Because one, you're playing a much harder schedule. That's number one. Number two, Debo's not really, like, how long, like, the big question is, when is he going to get injured? Like, that's the thing. When is he going to get hurt?
But, like, they didn't give up anyone they didn't have last year to get him, and you add him to already a pretty good offense that was pretty successful last year. I know the schedule's going to get harder. I'm not saying, like, they're going to be a fantastic team, but the Giants' path to a playoff spot right now is so much harder than it was in the last 2 years.
You know our opponents right now. It's a disaster who we have to play at home. I know we are. It's just, I don't know. Honestly, I just think we just have to develop guys and just see what happens.
But that's you know what? And as much as we keep saying that, Stan, I mean, that's been the motto for the Jets and Giants for fucking 10 years. It's just, it's a joke.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I want to be a New York football fan. I really do. But if there's two teams that blow, and I'm a Jets fan, like, I can't even give any root for them because you guys are just as bad. It's got to the point, Stan, where it's so bad people don't want to play here. And if it keeps continuing that way, we're going to start to look like a Cleveland sort of, you know, situation.
So moving on from what were we just talking? Oh, Debo. Now we have Max Crosby signs a 3-year, $106.5 million extension with the Raiders, $91.5 million guaranteed. Here's my thing with this. Tom Brady must have gave Max Crosby a great map out of what his plan is for this team. That's sort of how I feel.
Stand that, or he made him the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. I mean, that's what he did. So it, clearly, yeah. I don't know. I don't think they have a direction here. I think you're going to give him the money to stay in LA. Why not? Who cares? You're getting 106 over 3 years.
Whoops, a 91.5 million guaranteed.
He's the highest non-quarterback, highest paid non-quarterback player in the NFL. So
unreal. It's freaking.
The money was there.
And then Cooper Kupp, the Rams GM, said today that Cooper Kupp returning to the Rams is the least likely scenario to happen. So where does he go? I still think it's New England.
Yeah, I think New England's a good fit. I honestly, Giants get a quarterback. I don't know. I wouldn't rule them out.
Yeah, but I feel like with that, though, it's going to be
a lot.
It's not a lot. I just think more that they're just going to sign up. Rodgers is going to be in his ear and be in someone's ear.
Well, okay, hold on. All right, so you're coming. You think Rodgers is that your quarterback?
I have slowly accepted the reality that Aaron Rodgers will be taking week one snaps for the Giants next year. Yes,
great
I've
for you.
Slowly accepted it.
You want to hear the reality I'm in because I read a report. The Jets are looking for a second tier quarterback. Oh, if Carson Wentz is taking snaps for the Jets this year, I don't know if I'm going to be happy or completely disgusted, but we'll see what happens.
Rangers tied the game with Aaron. Rangers tied. Let's go.
I heard Mariota's an option, actually, for the Jets, which I love, to pair with Ty, because they want to keep Tyrod Taylor, and they want to draft a quarterback. So they're going to have a three-quarterback room, supposedly, but...
So who would you guys dart?
Probably someone like that. They said, so the report is they want to either use a mid-second-round pick or an early third to get a quarterback, but not in the first round. So a guy like Cam Ward or anything like that, don't expect the Jets to draft. I think they go get an offensive tackle. Then you bolster the O-line. Honest to God, Stan, call me crazy, but if Tyrod Taylor's the week one starter, I don't hate it. I really don't. I think if you had a few receivers,
he's not a bad quarterback. But he is old. Like, that's the thing.
You got him as a two-year backup. Let him play this year out and figure something else out. I don't hate it.
It's not a terrible idea.
From where they were with Zach Wilson to where they are now, they've taken 15 steps back. And that's
I just had a head rush after coughing. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
You're good. But the way that the situation they're in from having Zach Wilson to where they are now is 4 steps back. They had the best defense in the league. Now they don't. They got to figure some things out. I think quarterback's a main issue, yes, but I think you need to figure everything else out before you go deal with that situation because they have the pieces.
Exactly.
They have the skill pieces in place. Just get the hard-nosed guys and figure something out and then go get a quarterback.
Yeah. And the Eagles extended some of their main guys, including Saquon. They added 2 years to his deal.
Damn, let's just leave it. They're going to leave it
alone. Saquon.
You want to talk about the Eagles, dude?
I don't, but it's in the news, so I have to. Fun. Yay. I'm not letting it affect me. This is March. Let's go to the NBA.
They won the bowl, bro. It blows. They won the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, it really hit me. Like, this was supposed
Saquon
to be
Saquon stayed in New
year.
York, he would have been a boxer growing up, dude. I mean, I saw that report. Yeah, did you see that article?
Yes, I did see that, yes. This is supposed to be my year. Like, Yankees win the World Series. Didn't happen. Someone other than the Eagles was going to win the Super Bowl.
Are we?
Did not happen.
Can we agree right now that we're both most excited for baseball because our teams are good?
No, I'm not looking forward to.
Really?
We're all going to be rich. I'm focusing on fantasy and betting. That's sort of where I'm at.
You do.
Fantasy baseball and betting. That's kind of where. Well, I mean, here's the difference. You have Juan Soto. I don't.
All right. We still have Judge. I mean, let's hop off the brakes, but.
Yeah, but, you know, it's great when you have, up. You know.
All right. We said we wouldn't do this. Let's not.
We said we wouldn't do this, but yes, let's not do it.
The Cavs, man.
Cavs are great. They've won 11 straight for the second time this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Third
time this year. Absurd.
They only have 10 losses.
Yeah. And they're currently up 15.
I don't even pay attention when they play shit teams, dude. It's not even a comparison.
They're up 15 on the Heat right now. How you feeling? Because after that, I'll say this. After that win against the Celtics, how can you not be like, team of destiny, this is happening?
I mean, it goes back to the DeAndre Hunter trade. Because they trade to get DeAndre Hunter, and then suddenly every metric of their style of play becomes first in the league. Their first defensive net rating, their first net offensive rating. Before they even got him, they've been statistically the best jump shooting team in NBA history. They have the best true shooting percentage in NBA history. This team is unfucking believable. The defense they play, and I don't want to pick on Celtics fans, but they're going to say people were injured. People have been injured every game. You got to figure out how to win without some of these guys, and the Cavs are just, they're unbelievable. I have no other words than, oh my God, Stan, I didn't expect this. I thought they were going to be good, but they've been unbelievable. So I've been happy.
Yeah. Knicks side of things,
you got to break this down for me, man. I don't even know what to expect. I don't even know what this team is.
We didn't have Cat because of personal reasons. And,
I know,
you know,
but there's,
you know,
some losses in there.
There's shit going on. There's some losses in there. Like, the Heat win was like, okay, like, fuck.
You shouldn't have lost to Golden State. You shouldn't have.
Yeah, we should not have lost that game. Like, that's really bad. And I just don't want, like, there's a lot of the Knicks fan base out there, and I mentioned this last episode, where it's like, you know, like, if we get knocked out second round again, you got to, like, at least, like, explore the option of firing Tom Thibodeau. And
I think that's the first step.
I get it. Like, he's the coach that brought us to relevancy, won a coach of the year.
J.D. Bickerstaff did the same thing with Cleveland. Go get another guy that finishes the job.
But, like, I thought the goal was to win a championship.
Look at the fucking Kings.
If he can't get over that hump of just getting past the second round every time, like, that's something's got to change.
Yeah. Last year was tough. It's sort of the same thing this year, though. The reason they got hurt last year is they played so many minutes in the regular season, and that system hasn't changed at all.
Yeah. Knicks take on the Lakers tomorrow. It seems pretty certain that Karl Anthony Towns isn't playing. He's not listed on the injury report, but he'll probably be listed probably tomorrow for at least questionable or probable. Tibbs did not sound too optimistic about him making go into this West Coast trip, so we'll see. I'm kind of just like, let's just get in the playoff mode, if I'm being honest. That's where I'm at.
You're a playoff team. It's just, can you beat other playoff teams?
Can we beat the other top two teams in the conference? Which I don't think that we can. There's I just don't understand. If we get to the Mavs too, as Tim runs away, he'll be back though. The Mavs are in disarray right now, if we're being completely honest. They bump up prices for season ticket holders. Actually, let's just rewind from the Anthony Davis trade to now, where it is. So they trade Luka Doncic. You're in the right direction. You're going to the you're in the finals. You have Luka and Kyrie, two guys you can build your franchise around, and you have the great big, you know, Gafford and Lively and Washington. Then you trade Luka for nothing. I know Anthony Davis is something, but let's all be honest here. Trading Luka Doncic and only getting one first-round pick back is absurd. Then there's the Anthony Davis injury. That happens. He only plays 30 minutes, and he gets hurt. Daniel Gafford also gets hurt. Derek Lively's out for the year. So now you have no big men. And then you bump up your season ticket prices 8%, and that causes outrage. Then Kyrie Irving tears his ACL.
And mind you, Mark Cuban's laughing when Luka Doncic hits a three. Mark, yeah.
Yes. So now your main draw for this organization is Klay Thompson. And that is not a main draw that you want to have in the great year, in the big 2025. So there is really...
Have we seen a more really mismanaged team in a long time?
This might be the most, let's just say, like, Ryan Russillo said it best. He tweeted this the other day when it was announced that Embiid was out for the year. Giving Embiid that extension is the second ridiculous. Worst thing a front office has done this year. The first being trading away Luka Doncic
for one first round pick. Right, exactly, now the way it looks. But I will say, if you look at it from the bigger picture kind of situation, if those two are healthy and you have a healthy Klay Thompson, that's a really fucking good team. That's a really good basketball team.
I know, but
team.
Like, come on.
And no.
Come on, Tim.
I'm not defending the trade whatsoever. Not at all. But what I am saying is that because they're hurt now, it looks a million times worse. A million times worse.
Yeah. What the hell was I just going to say? Any other NBA news? I know we're short on time here.
I can't think of anything crazy. Oh, LeBron, 50,000. Jesus Christ. LeBron got 50,000 points. Jesus Christ.
50,000. I just love the first father-son duo to score 50,000 points. LeBron and Bronny.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
first duo to do that.
Can everyone please just take a minute? If you're a LeBron hater, whatever it is, just appreciate what you're watching. Please. This man
All right. I appreciate it.
Not you. I'm just saying. Everybody,
I appreciate it.
The man dropped like 34, 8, and 10 the other night. Right. I mean, what are we doing?
All right.
Imagine if he was a Knicks fan, if he was a career-long Knick, you'd be fucking slobbing like crazy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But that's not, this isn't the reality that we live in.
It should have been. I mean, we can go back to the decision. It should have been.
I don't know why Dolan thought it was a good idea to have a Carmella and Tony Soprano hype video for LeBron when they were from New Jersey, which was also weird. I don't know. That video was hilarious, though. That video has been shown on this podcast before.
But you know what, Sid?
Let's go to college basketball. Oh.
They get LeBron. You don't get that Mello welcome home video. So
that is true. That's very true.
And I still watch.
Let's
that
go to college day. Basketball. That is true. Let's go to college basketball real quick. Duke gets a big win over Wake Forest on senior night. I believe we've won four straight games by 30 or more points.
Welcome to Cleveland culture, baby. Feels great, doesn't it?
Yeah, really.
Never losing. Feels great.
This is awesome. Like out of and we take on North Carolina on Saturday.
You don't feel scared of anyone, right? You don't feel no one scares you. No, exactly. It's awesome, right? You're just we gotta play OKC. Oh, yeah,
we're the standard.
Exactly.
I love that. Like that's just what it. That's
love
what it is. I love this feeling.
I love it.
And now, granted, come tournament time, like I'm gonna fucking lose.
Exactly.
My shit.
Come playoff time, and it's like, oh, it's all Boston. It's the same situation. We're both. You know what? Here's my point. Yeah, perfect. Duke is Cleveland.
Yeah. This team is awesome. There's really it's a privilege to watch all these games that Cooper Flagg has played in. It really just is. It's awesome. And I know that we've had our scares a bit with injuries. I know Malik Brown's still kind of coming back from that subluxation of his shoulder. Tyrese Proctor just came back from his bone bruise injury on his knee. He didn't really look that sharp, but you know, it's just a feeling out front. Just a feeling out process with that. Hopefully he's good by Saturday.
They suck.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully he's good by Saturday, but I can't wait. I'm excited. March is here.
I think
here.
This is the most like
nothing
confident
better
in
March
I've seen
when
you.
Your team's good.
I think this is the most confident I've seen you as a Duke fan because I know, I mean, the Zion years and everything, you were happy, but you weren't like, oh, this is a for sure thing. I've never seen you more like
here's the thing.
You're so nonchalant about this team, though. You're like, this is it. Like, we're just going to win. Like, that's it.
Here's the thing with the Zion team. The Zion team was fun. Don't get me wrong. They weren't deep, and they didn't really have that much experience. And the experience that we had, their experience was basically just coming off the bench, really. And those guys, same guys still came off the bench. So it wasn't like a good mesh. This group of guys that we have, it reminds me of the 2015 team.
Kentucky?
And like Duke, where you had stud freshmen all around, had Okafor and Tyus Jones and Justice Winslow and Grayson Allen. This group has, you know, Flagg and Knipple and Isaiah Evans. And, you know, Pat Gamba has really been a big factor since Malik Brown got hurt. But, and also there's the experience as well, because Tyrese Proctor has sort of stepped into that Quinn Cook role where he's just been incredible. Then he's really just been like the facilitator, the point guard. Sion James is built like an NFL linebacker in.
I love those college linebacker players.
We have a linebacker playing point guard. Like that, that's just kind of what it is.
They're the best.
We have a linebacker playing point guard. And I forgot to mention Malawach of the freshman as well, but we have great experience coming off the bench too. Mason Gillis played a national championship last year with Purdue. Had his best 3-point numbers all year, probably because Zach Edey was getting the offensive rebounds and five guys on the floor boxing him out. He was wide open, just give it back to him. But still, a 40% 3-point shooter is a 40% 3-point shooter. Isaiah Evans reminds me of Brandon Ingram. And if he has a breakout March, if he has a breakout tournament, he's probably going to declare for the draft and get picked late first round. Because teams love a guy. No, it's going to be a great draft. Teams, but here's the thing with Isaiah.
I don't know the back end.
Here's the thing with Isaiah Evans, though. He's one of those guys where he hits 1-3. He's not missing for the rest of the game. Like, he's just one of those guys. And if your scouting report is just all it takes is one, teams are going to drool for you. So if we get him to come back, it's insane.
Let me ask you
this. Who else is there? I mean, Malik Brown's been incredible. I'm loving this team. I'm loving it.
If you're just going to, because I, you know, I don't know as much college basketball clearly as you do, but if you're going to give me a scope of this, who's better, that Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Kentucky team, or this Duke team right now?
Well, they didn't play at Kentucky together.
Well,
do you mean 2012 Kentucky with Kidd Gilchrist and AD and all them?
Are you sure they didn't play together, Sam?
Devin Booker got drafted in like 2017.
Maybe it wasn't Devin Booker, but what was that Anthony Davis team?
It was Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
Okay, then that team that was so successful.
I think it's the Duke team.
Really?
I mentioned it last episode where it's like this is the highest net rating of any team in the KenPom era since 99. No one's ever, like, come on. In all respect to that Kentucky team was awesome. But this team's gonna be better and I can't wait. Like, I'm looking forward to it. And I can't wait to post this clip on TikTok and everyone's just gonna be like, we get knocked out second round.
I'm rooting for you. I will ask you this. I want to, before we, you know, because we're going to have to wrap this up going to the interview, but that Texas guy, Trey Johnson, I saw a little scouting report on him. Is he, like, kind of that fifth
Texas
overall?
Texas might not make the tournament.
I'm not worried about the tournament. I'm thinking NBA scope-wise. Okay. For him, is he, like, that fifth overall pick that's kind of like, oh, my God, this might be the breakout player of the draft? Or is he kind of just, like, a college score for you? Because I look at his stats, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, that could work. And there's...
Because the way he plays sort of seems like an NBA-style score.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it kind of translates to the NBA game. Because you have guys at college who, like Tyus Jones, for example. I know he made the NBA, but, like, the way he played in college, you know, the scoring aspect he had in college didn't translate to the NBA, but the way Trey, you know, this guy plays over here, it's, you know,
he's been able to find a way.
Exactly. Yeah. He creates his own shots in sort of like a way you would in the NBA.
He's been out of that, like, group of Duke freshmen, like, from that 2015 team, he's been him and Grayson have been, like, the guys that have been, like, able to be in, like, stay in the league. Because Winslow and, I mean, Okafor just got a 2-way deal, so good for him. He's been able to develop a 3-point shot. He was born in the wrong era, man.
Oh my god! He was in 2000.
He'd be the great. He'd be the. Really. Yeah, really. Had a long career. There was no point where Noel was like.
You know what? I will say those years he backed up on the Knicks was great.
He was a solid player. It was just like Okafor was like hyped up to be like the best, like one of the best center prospects ever.
Didn't they have another one?
And then he was out of the league and like. Five years?
I'm gonna be honest with you, Stan. It didn't seem like they hit a home run with Embiid either. This is a complete fucking dumpster fire.
Nah, come on. He won an MVP.
You win an MVP, you lose the first round. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but they did that stupid process shit, and now everyone was like, title or bust.
All right, before we wrap this up, I want to ask one real quick about DPOY this year. Who's winning it? The NBA. You don't got to stroke me, but...
Might be Evan Mobley.
It might be. He won Eastern Conference Defensive Player of the Month this month. I mean, he's the front runner for it.
It might just be him.
Another real question I got to ask you again before we wrap this up. Last one. In the next five years, is this guy a top five player in the NBA? Because he reminds me. You know what reminds me exactly of, Stan? Kevin Garnett. He's a bigger Kevin Garnett.
Top 10, not top 5.
All right. That's fair.
Top 10, not top 5.
That's fair.
Okay,
that's fair.
We're going to go to the interview with Jake. We're talking everything hockey, Rangers, Islanders, Mikko Rantanen, all that. Does Chris Kreider stay? Does Chris Kreider go? Who knows? Enjoy the interview.
Does Brock Nelson stay?
Jake Zaretsky. Does Brock Nelson stay? Yes. Enjoy the interview. Jake Zaretsky, friend of the program. What I saw is next, or what I saw is after that. All right. All right, it feels like he's just a mainstay at this point, so there, I feel like there's no need for a long introduction. Jake Zaretsky is with us today to go over the NHL trade deadline. Ends on Friday at 3 o'clock.
Pretty much starts, and it starts on Friday at 12 is usually when it starts.
It's been started already.
We're going to go over basically every trade that has happened from Lindgren and VC going to Colorado to the most recent one, Yanni Gourde going back to Tampa Bay. And then we're going to see some names being thrown around. We're going to talk about that. So without... let's do a nice little check-in. Jake, how are we doing? It's been a while. It's been good, man. September.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if you're asking me personally, I've been doing good. But on the Rangers side of things, it's been one of the most frustrating seasons that I can honestly remember, just from an expectation standpoint. When you look at where they were a year ago today, think about it, like fresh off the Stadium Series win. I remember,
that's where you started from.
Yeah, Stan, I think I'm the gentlemen are talking here. I think they went on like an 8 or 9 game win streak, including that game.
I believe it went to 11 at one point.
Yeah. So
to
be where they're at now, it's very frustrating. But things are good. They've been better. Obviously, JT Miller, our Lord and Savior, is still on a 6 or 7 game heater. So I'm really happy with that.
I would like to say as well, Jake had some comments on the instant live reaction. I will say there was. At the time of the trade, it was very dim in Rangerland. I was like, no move can really move.
It's a real sunshine right now, is what you're saying?
Hey, we're at a playoff. It's better. Taking on the Caps tonight. It's better. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. It's much better than what it was back in December or January even. So, speaking of the Rangers, let's just get it started. Ryan Lindgren and Jimmy VC have been traded. To the Avalanche for Calvin DeHaan. What's Parsonen's first name again? I'm blanking.
Juuso
Parsonen, a 2025 second and a 2025 fourth. Let's start on the majors. What the fuck is happening? This is only the trade deadline.
They're playing Shell outside screaming.
Wow, that was quite something right there.
Roll potatoes are back.
I let him know.
I mean, I kind of want to hear. Look, it's not. I'm never going to get a neutral opinion about the Rangers from Tim, but I kind of want to hear what he has to say about it. Just seriously.
For me, for this trade or just the season in general?
No, the trade, the Lindgren trade.
I think it's a win for you completely. Completely a win. Calvin DeHaan's a great stay-at-home defenseman. Isles legend, by the way, for people who don't know. And if you need to add picks in depth. Listen, let's be honest. Like, real look in the mirror here. This is not the year for you guys. This really isn't the year for you. You retool. You get rid of some pieces you don't need. And I think this is a good move for you. I don't see it in the cards for the Rangers this year. The same way I really don't see it for the Isles. But, you know, if they get in, who knows?
Sure.
We could say the same thing about the Rangers, too. Like, it's not in the cards. But if they get in, it's you never know.
I mean, listen, you make a good point. I think when you think of the top contenders in the NHL this season, if you were to pick 5, I don't think the Rangers would even come onto your mind. I do think that the East is a little wide open considering the Jack Hughes injury that just happened. I think the Caps are there, but not a lot of people are picking them to go very far just because they're a new contender into the whole picture. Carolina's Carolina. They still have not won an Eastern Conference final game, even though they've been there twice in the last 5 or 6 years. So it's wide open, but I do kind of agree that, you know, when you're looking at the picture, it's really not the Rangers year, especially considering what's happened. When I look at this trade, we spoke a little bit of, you know, before the show about sentimental trades and, you know, trading guys who have been there during big moments like Hedl, Lindgren, Kako, Trouba, who have all been dealt this season. But I'm somebody now as I turned 24 in 2025, that the hunger and the lust for a Stanley Cup has grown way, way beyond the sentimental value when it comes to trading these guys.
I don't even know have guys
like
it.
Yeah, I mean, look, also, to have guys like JT Miller and Calvin DeHaan, like you said, stay on the defenseman. I thought he looked great in his Ranger debut.
I love his interview, too. It's yeah, no, look at my hockey yeah. IMDb, it's not great.
No, he's a veteran. He's a great guy. He's someone that you kind of want on a roster like that. I mean, the Avalanche got him for that exact reason. And, you know, when a guy like Lindgren comes to the table, it's good for a playoff contender to add a player like that, because Lindgren's a great player. I'm hoping that he does well in Colorado. And at the end of the day, it's just, if the team and Drury are building towards a bigger picture, whether it's now or down the road, I'm on board with it regardless.
Yeah. It kind of felt like the writing was on the wall, though, for Lindgren. And it was almost like the same thing for Kako, too, where it was, you know, the writing was on the wall, even though, you know, the difference between Kako and Lindgren was Kako was actually playing well before he got traded when everybody else wasn't. And, you know, Lindgren hasn't really, honestly, for the past year, it kind of really hasn't been translating, especially with him and Fox, you know.
And just needs a new home.
Yeah, just needed a new home, really. And honestly, it gives Colorado, like, a proven top four defenseman, and it also allows them to get a top penalty killer, really, if you really think about it.
We haven't talked about it yet. I know Jimmy Vesey didn't really do too much for the Rangers, but I kind of like that as a piece for the Avalanche, you know, a guy you can stick in your lineup as a rotational piece if you need him, especially because I think they're going to move on from Mittelstad, who's been severely underproducing. I think this is a guy you can throw in your lineup and a good depth piece for a playoff run.
All right, next trade. The Minnesota Wild go get Gustav Nyquist for a third-round pick going back to Nashville. This can go well if the Wild...
Taking a gamble. Taking a gamble.
This is a big gamble. This is a big gamble. And, you know...
Is it really a big gamble, though? Considering what they gave up?
Considering what they gave up, not really. Considering the fact that the Wild have had so many injuries.
Yeah, I just...
To their big forwards like Joel Eriksson Ek, like Kirill Kaprizov. If they can get the Nyquist from last year, he had 23 goals and 75 points total. If you can get some of that,
I mean, it's good.
Especially now they're trying to make a push.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, this is me finding out for the first time that it was a second round pick. I thought it was like a fourth or a fifth.
That's why I'm saying it's kind of a gamble.
It definitely sounds a little bit more like a gamble now, especially considering, you know, where the Wild have been for the last, you know, couple of years in terms of
pushes. Let me ask you real quick, Jake. In your mind, have they moved the needle at all, really, closer to a championship? Because in my mind, they're sort of just kind of been in the same
situation
for the past, like, 10 years.
They've sort of just been there.
No, like, this year, I do feel like it's a little different, honestly, just because of the young talent that they've developed very, very steadily over the last couple of years with guys like Boldy.
You say Bossy?
Yeah.
Bossy.
Guys like Matt Boldy, Marco Rossi, Brock Faber especially too. I think that their dynamic has changed a little bit. I think they become a much faster team. They give me like LA Kings kind of vibe where not too many superstars. You know, obviously they have Kirill Kaprizov, but they're really going to bang bodies. Filip Gustavsson's been fantastic this season for them too. Also, when you have a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, that's just a presence in your locker room that, you know, you really can't beat, especially for playoff runs. I don't know. I do have they moved the needle? Not as much as some other teams have, but it definitely wouldn't surprise me as much as it would have in previous years if they were to win a round or two in the playoffs.
Now, do either of you know, was it last year, this year, or next year where they're done paying the Suter Parise buyout kind of deal they had? Is it this year it's off the books?
Done, or it's this year?
Because I know that's been holding them back for a pretty long time now, where they have some cap situation.
It doesn't go into next year. That I know for a fact. I'll actually validate that while Stan gets to our next trade.
I was going to bring up Nashville situation just because they're just a massive.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy to me, Stan?
What a clusterfuck.
You know what's absolutely crazy to me? None of them want out. There's a report that came out that said all of them want to stay, and I think that kind of trends towards what that team is more of a retirement home than it is a cup contender, because he signed a ton of veterans in the offseason. Everyone loves living in Nashville, like the whole area, the taxes and everything. So I think a lot of those guys are just going to try and finish out their career.
Stamkos hasn't even scored a goal in like 15 games.
Well, I mean, Sorokin put one in pretty well. So
That is
true. Yes.
Right. I have an update on the Parise Suter situation. So their $14.7 million buyout ends this year. It transitions into $1.6 million. From 2025 to 2029.
Yeah. I mean, you remember that contract, Stan? That's when they started allowing you to get the big long-term deals, and they just...
That was a disaster.
It was like him and them two and Kovalchuk.
Happy he wasn't on the Devils anymore, but that contract was just a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, when they brought them in, it was like, whoa. It felt NBA-like. I mean, the press conference.
Yeah, Parisi was like the best American in the league at the time.
Yeah, and Suter was nuts too. So crazy, but that's history.
All right,
so
pretty big one. Panthers get Seth Jones. The Blackhawks get Spencer Knight and a 2026 first.
I love the steal for both teams too.
Yeah, start with the Panthers side first. Seth Jones is under contract for 4 more years, and the
Blackhawks retained some of that salary too.
They did as well. I believe the Panthers have enough cap room to bring back either Ekblad or Sam Bennett. That gives you a top four. If they do bring back Ekblad, they have a top four of Jones, Forsling, Mikkola, Ekblad. That's pretty damn good.
That is pretty solid.
The rich get richer.
I think they use that to get Jones, right?
Yeah, they probably use that to get Jones.
They still have more cap because they retain 26 cents on the dollar to the salary, so they're really not even paying him the full. What is he making, $9 million? And what is it? Does that even come down to? So they still have more cap room to work with, and they won the cup last year.
That's true. They currently sit with $5.3 million in cap, so they can. Okay. They definitely are still players. Like they could still go get somebody to really either bolster the blue line. I mean, I know they just traded for Vitek Vanacek today as a backup.
They did today.
I think that was a good trade too.
Yeah, they got rid of a guy that isn't playing for a guy that is. So. I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to add like another second line forward, just because I think they're running Evan Rodriguez and Mackie Samuskevich on those wings. So if they put somebody to maybe put down the middle with Sam Bennett, I think that would definitely help them. But yeah, I mean, I thought I saw Jay Fresh put a poll out today where it's like, do you think that the Eastern Conference will be represented by a Florida team in the Eastern Conference final?
Yeah.
Maybe. And it was like 68% yes. So
I think Tampa might be better than them right now, but that's a different story.
That move that they made.
Well, I mean, we'll get to the Tampa.
That was a fantastic trade.
Yeah, it was. It was
for the Blackhawks.
He had a great game yesterday.
I'll say this, and I know it's a very fluid situation, but you may have just found your franchise goalie.
Oh, 100%. And I want to tip my cap to the Panthers organization. They are the best organization at like containing goaltenders and moving on from them to different teams for pieces, because they had Spencer Knight. They signed.
Yes.
Now I'm blanking on names here. This is going to bother me. They signed Bobrovsky. They traded what's his face to Buffalo.
Lion, right?
No, they are.
His last name?
Who's the Canadian? I always forget his name.
He's on Buffalo now?
Yeah.
Goodness.
Oh boy. Are you sure he's on Buffalo, not Toronto?
Either way. Whoever. I mean, they have a great goaltending system and room, and that's helped them out so much. I mean, the way they're able to like interchange and move on from guys has just been so fantastic for them. So
Bobrovsky's been there for years.
He's still making a hefty deal, which
Bobrovsky's
is crazy.
Gonna play, and we're just gonna trade our backup goalie.
He wasn't. Remember at that time when he was awful, and that was almost looked at as one of the worst goalie contracts in the league.
Yeah. Well, and also, Bobrovsky and Jones have chemistry playing together in Columbus, so that's another thing to look out
for. And also, it's an advantage for Chicago because he's been playing behind Bobrovsky for the past year and a half now.
He was in the players program for a little bit, but yeah.
But, you know, there's still an advantage to that. And now, this young core got somewhat better in Chicago, if you really think about it. They're going to come up. They're going to come up eventually. It might take a year. It might take 2 years. I hope it does, because they need a better coach, for God's sake. But watch out. Here come the Hawks. Here come the Hawks, man. Look out.
It's crazy.
The next trade, Travis Frederick to the Edmonton Oilers.
Who is that?
Trent Frederick.
The name? Wait.
Trent?
Trent Frederick.
Why did I say Travis? Well, but... So I was fucking typing this shit up.
You're good.
And I was reading a Travis Hunter report, and I had Travis in my mind.
If you guys did look at the actual logistics of that trade, it was kind of ridiculous. The cap loopholes they went through to make that deal done.
Yeah, there was a lot of teams involved. It was a three-team deal, but the Devils were involved with this as well.
Yeah,
but they only got the rights to a prospect that's playing overseas.
I think they ended
up.
Did they end up retaining some of the salary as well?
Yeah. They were the third team in the trade, so they needed to take on some cap and some roster help too.
Did they get LeChance? Okay. The kid from AU or BC?
They took someone. Whenever I'm thinking of like a player where they get their rights. I'm always
they got Shane LaChance and 50% of Frederick's salary, which I think was already 50% of. I don't know how that works because it was like a retained deal. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, this I'd say this makes the Oilers better. He brings size offensively. He's able to kill penalties, which is something that the Oilers desperately need. I think it's a good move. And now Evander Kane's, he's out for the year, right, Evander Kane? Or is he coming back?
They haven't really said much.
It's been kind of, in the dark. But they need him.
Since they're so mum about it, I would assume he's out for the year.
I don't know.
I think they're holding hope that he might be able to come back for the playoffs.
Yeah, the teams don't disclose this. I didn't know Oliver Wallstrom tore his ACL last year until about like 4 months after he tore his ACL. So
that's fair. So now from Boston's side, is this the beginning of the end for these?
Yep.
Are you going to see Marchand being moved?
I think not this year, but I think.
Well, Marchand's in the last year of his contract, so he's a free agent at the end of the year. Or is there going to be a reunion? Or are we going to see?
I don't know.
I think how old is Marchand?
35.
That's tough.
I don't know. Is he hurt right now? Isn't he hurt?
Marchand, yes.
Out until Friday's deadline
for roster management, or like are they?
That's
saying
the thing.
That?
I don't know. I don't know where they're going. The direction for them is a little.
Also, speaking of being out for roster management, Riley Smith also out. What are we other any teams in mind of like where is he going to a contender? Is he going to a team out west? Like what do we think about that?
I don't know. It's tough, right? I mean, so you look at the players in the Western Conference. I think right now, like a team like Vegas, I mean, that would be like, I think if, you're right, Tim?
Yeah, I just had a burp. I didn't want to like do it in the, try and like cover it.
I mean, how many times have we seen Vegas take a swing like this, right? Like how many times have we seen them go after a guy, whether it's during the deadline or in the offseason, to really go for it all? So that would
They're
probably
be quiet about it too. Like you won't hear too much buzz before it happens.
No, it just kind of happens similar to like the, Timo Meier situation. Oh, no, that was with the Devils. Well, yeah, but it's a similar thing where it kind of just unfolded very quickly. So I don't know. We'll see. I think if I'm looking at a team right now to make like one of those like whoa trades at the deadline, it would probably be Vegas. And I wouldn't be surprised if they find a way to get me.
They did make some of those whoa trades last year when they got Tomas Hurdle.
They did. You're right. You're not wrong about that.
So they're more than capable of doing that. They don't care, really. They could put Mark Stone on long-term IR and be like, you know what?
Yeah, screw it.
I think another team sort of like that in the West that makes an approach. I think the Kings might be a big buyer this deadline. I think they had the assets. They got a lot of guys they're willing to move on from. I don't know, Turcotte or any of those guys. I mean, the younger guys that have somewhat panned out decently, they can make a big trade, and they're a pretty fucking good team.
But I feel like with that, we saw what Vancouver did last year and buy and trade away future pieces and then look at them now. And it seems like that's what the Capitals are avoiding. And they're kind of just like, okay, like we're leading the league in points. We're on track to win the President's Trophy. Let's not screw this up and like bring in guys. And
they had such a, I know I was so negative on it and Jake was right, but they really did have a phenomenal offseason. The way the Capitals kind of addressed everything. The defensive aspect, they got big enough guys who move the puck well. Forward wise, the forward group's been phenomenal. And Connor McMichael, I said even way back when he was drafted, I love the way that kid plays. And he's been fantastic for them. And you add that along with probably the best goaltending in the league. I mean, can we agree on the way it's been so far? It's been fantastic.
The way it's been so far, it's been very good.
It's been fantastic. So
getting the job done, they score so many goals that it doesn't matter. When you have guys coming out of the woodwork, like Alexei Protas, suddenly Pierre-Luc Dubois feels like he's back to his like 2019 prime. And so...
Yeah, what's happening?
It's a train.
Oh, NJ Transit.
Yeah.
Harry Compton.
Yep. I think it's
very competent. I love that transit.
Yeah. Anyways, so
I did not mean that.
To continue that point, yes, I think with the Capitals, and thank you, Tim, for recognizing that. I know that clip got corrupted. But that's what they're saying.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Jake was like right on the money with Washington this year. It was like, look out. Like, they're going to be pretty damn good. And his audio file got corrupted.
Gone forever.
I will say we were wrong about the Devils because I'm telling you they're not going to make it.
I don't think they're going to make it either. Jack Hughes out for the year with a shoulder injury.
Let me finish
Go, 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 go back.
Oh,
go
yeah,
back,
shit.
Go back.
Sorry, sorry, sorry.
No, I apologize. I don't want to talk about them. I don't want to talk about them. Yeah, like Matt Waugh was out for, I think, the first 20 games of the season. And that was a guy who I thought was going to make a serious impact. He's come back. And he's actually been a really steady defenseman for them. Jacob Chychrun turned it up to a different level about halfway through the season, and he's been really, really, really good for them. And again, those guys that are coming out of the woodworks now, like I said, Alexei Protas, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Connor McMichael, as you said, Dylan Strome's been a really good centerman for them
Fantastic.
As well.
Fantastic. And I mean, Backstrom.
When you have the greatest goal scorer of this generation scoring hat tricks out of just for fun and then banging the glass and hitting his kid, you know, for every goal that game, that's pretty special to see. So they have something special going on. I spoke a lot about Spencer Carberry as well. I thought he was one of the better coaches in the NHL just because of his demeanor. And it's definitely paid off for them. I did not have them at first place in the Metro.
Who did you have in first place?
I think I said that they could be third or first wild card.
Well, yeah. I said Vancouver last year was going to be second wild card just sneaking in. And here they are. And then my hot one this year was Utah. But I don't think that's going to work. Maybe. They're only four out. Only 4 points out of the second spot.
Not too bad. But they're still the Coyotes.
Especially with Vancouver in disarray right now. You never know.
I mean, they've been in disarray for like 2 months.
But the problem is, dude, is that they're in disarray and they're still finding
they're
a way.
Still winning. Right. They're still
it's
winning.
Oh, so crazy. Like, I don't know. They're such an anomaly to me that I'd rather a team like Calgary make the playoffs just because I think they have a good roster. Like, they're one of the most steadily sound defensive teams in the NHL. So we'll see what happens with them. Plus, they have Dustin Wolf, who I love. I think he's a great
player. Yes. Let's go to the deal that happened today. Yanni Gourde and Oliver Bjorkstrand to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
It's a problem. Excuse me. It's a problem.
It is an issue.
I mean, that's just another scenario where, first of all, look, I mean, getting Jake Guentzel.
Oh, it's been unbelievable for them. It's insane. Unbelievable.
That is such a problem. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that he doesn't have the physicality that a lot of players do and you know, around the league nowadays. Like, you know, my perfect NHL player has always been Matthew Tkachuk, and Guentzel kind of has a little bit of similarities to him where he can do everything. And so I don't know. I think the fact that they got him, and I know Guentzel doesn't kill penalties, but it's just like, that's a guy you just throw on the ice, whether it's in the last 5 minutes of the game or whatever, and he's just going to give you 1,000%. So they have him, okay? They put Guentzel on their first line. Great, solid, whatever. Oh, you know, okay, we're competing for the playoffs. Awesome, let's do even more by adding a second line right winger and throwing Yanni Gourde back on our third line. And it's just, they're a team where they're very similar to Carolina, where you throw in guys like, I want to say they have Zemgus Girgensons now, which is unbelievable. Mitchell Chafee's on that team too. Guys who aren't like named, but then you see them on the ice and like, whoa, why are these guys flying? And it's so similar to Carolina where they just bring up these guys from the AHL or from the ECHL even, or they draft them or whatever it may be, and they just go into the lineup and they just bang bodies and they put their head down and they skate. So when you got a guy like John Cooper there, that definitely contributes to that.
Yeah, and the difference is they have a winning culture in Tampa. I mean, this has been one of the best teams that we've seen in a long time, going back a few years where they win those two cups. But they add onto this roster with the forward depth they need. I look at this team, I think Braden Point, when the playoffs come around, he's a top five player in the league. You still have Nikita Kucherov, who's already just a top five player in the league, paired with almost the best, probably, I mean, you could throw him up as the best goaltender in the league. I mean, the team is deep with the best coaching, probably one of the best run organizations, and we've seen it in all sports. And I know they give up the two picks here, but if they're so good, they're going to be late first round picks anyway, so it's not really that big of a deal.
I also want to mention the addition to Bjorkstrand. I feel like everyone's talking about Yanni Gourde because he used to be on the team. Okay. Now you're getting a second line of Cirelli, Hagel, and Bjorkstrand.
It's a problem.
That's good.
They're a good
that's
team.
That's an issue. That is an issue. Especially now where, like, you know, Florida, Tkachuk's out until probably the postseason. And, you know, Toronto, we all know the lore of Toronto.
Fuck them.
And who knows? They're always due for
What's
a collapse.
What's
going
to happen
I
with them
like.
Next year, huh?
I wouldn't want to be that front office.
Yeah, yes and no, because the problem is that they're not struggling, right? So they're definitely making the argument as a team right now to bring everybody back, which they do have the ability to do because the cap is going up and they do have the ability to do that. I've already heard the Mitch Marner, the Islanders thing. You know that's not happening. That's just,
I wasn't even mentioning the Island. I don't want him. My dad, I absolutely hate Mitch Marner. My dad fucking hates him too. I don't think he's a winner. I think he's a losing player. I think that's just in his nature. But
fair enough.
Wow.
Like, it's entirely possible that a team like the Rangers can collide with an Atlantic team in the playoffs, meaning that they would have to eat one of Toronto, Florida, or Tampa Bay in the first round. No, I don't want it at all. I really don't. I don't want to play any team in the playoffs. as a Ranger fan, just because I know that it'll be a tooth and nail battle.
I got to stop you real quick. Let's stop acting like they're already clinched in the play. Eastern Conference wildcard race. Nothing's set in stone here.
Nope, you're right. Okay, sorry. I retract.
Speaking of Kachucks, I know Matt was mentioned before, but Brady.
Oh my God.
Did you see that article? You saw that article that came out today, Jake?
What article?
About Brady Kachuk. I guess some like Ottawa reporter was basically talking about why Brady Kachuk should Brady Kachuk really be the Senators captain?
Because he's American? Is that really what this article is about?
It is, yeah. Well, I mean, you saw they were booing the anthem at the game. Oh,
obviously, I saw that.
Shaking his head. I mean, I've already made this so clear. If you are an American team, unless your last name is Kucherov or I don't even know. You trade everything you can to get a guy like Brady Kachuk in your
life. Absolutely.
He wants out the door though, doesn't he? I was starting to hear reports
No, he hasn't said that. He hasn't said that.
I mean,
he scored a goal the other night and he held up the logo and like pumped his chest.
Like, I mean, they scored it was like 40 seconds left to tie it up. I mean, it was
sick. Goal, but... So like there's no way Brady Kachuk will ever come out public and say he wants out, especially as the captain. Like, that'll derail the Senators completely. And he won't. It's not that. I don't even think he thinks that way anyways. This is a team that's competing for a playoff spot right now. I mean, they have a game in hand on both teams that are in the wild card race. And with a win, they can jump themselves right back into it. So, I don't know. With the whole Brady Kachuk situation, if he became available, everyone's on the board. I don't care. I mean, the only person maybe that I wouldn't do. I wouldn't trade Fox or Shesterkin for Brady Kachuk. Those are the only two guys. I don't know if any Islanders are off the board. For you, Tim, but
for Brady,
yeah.
It's always just going to be Barzy. I mean, that's it. That's the only one.
You really wouldn't do for Matthew Barzal? Like, I would do Lafreniere for Kachuk in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would do so would anyone on the planet. I mean, that's not even like a normal comparison there. The difference between our team because I just don't know what the difference would be. But what I see when he's not on the ice, Barzal, versus when he is on the ice, is a completely different Islanders team. And I just don't know if anyone else could replicate that sort of play, the way he possesses the puck and the way he does things in the offensive zone. I'm not saying like he's better than Brady Kachuk, just from like a perspective of the way the team plays. I don't know if that would necessarily change the whole dynamic. If you brought Brady Kachuk in, it kind of reset the whole team. I don't think they'd be better nor worse.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I will say this because I did see a report, and I know it could have just been some media smoke, but the Kachuks potentially do want to join up forces together in the future, sort of like the Sedins.
Yeah,
they're drafted together. Yeah. Do you think in a crazy, crazy world that could possibly happen in Florida? Or if they do want to end up doing something like this, it would have to be to a completely different franchise. Just a question to pick your
brain. Like, I repeat the question.
Like, if you see them teaming up, do you see them teaming up in Florida? Or is it a different team where these two guys kind of hit free agency and they're like, listen, we're going to sign here and we're going to...
Honestly, I could see them teaming up
in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, down the road, for sure, like now,
legacy there.
Now their values go way, like their values right now are way beyond the whole, like, yeah, like let's, like they're too valuable to where, like, as a team, like you have to give up so many assets. I truly believe that if they were going to ever team up, it would have to be like later on in their career.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I just wanted to see where that was at.
Yeah, no, I got you. I want to talk a little bit about, actually, I'm going to bring this up. Because I do want to talk a little bit about the Islanders, because I have been talking with the Islanders fans for a bit. I actually have somebody who works for them, not have somebody, but I know somebody that works for them. I was picking his brain over the phone this weekend. I don't know. Like, so another report came out today that the Islanders want to keep Brock Nelson around, but I guess I'm going to ask Stan, just to keep Tim like foaming at the mouth a little bit here. Stan, I'm curious, do you think the Islanders will move on from both Kyle Palmieri and Brock Nelson?
Maybe not Palmieri, but definitely Brock Nelson.
And do you think I'm going to say this, I guess, do you think that they'll walk away with something that's going to make them better for the offseason and next season going forward?
I believe it's going to be for the returns, definitely going to be for the future and not for the now. That's
my concern, and Tim, I'm going to let you,
as Tim rolls his eyes.
No, I agree with you. They would not get an immediate impact player back. No.
So my thing has always been with the Islanders is that when they make a trade, it's to get that immediate impact. Like, you saw what they did with Aturati, which was, I mean, in my opinion, one of the most underrated trades in the last...
That was a fleece, if you really look at it. That was a fleece.
No, total fleece. But every trade that the Islanders have made has really been to get somebody on their roster. So I believe that they would rather, instead of going for a first or a second, whatever it may be, picks-wise, I think they'd rather get a young prospect in return for a guy like Nelson. So I guess to ask you, Tim, would you be upset if that's the route the Islanders went down again? Are you really only looking to get picks for guys like Nelson or Palmieri?
The way I kind of look at it is, yeah, like you said, they're still actively trying to re-sign Brock Nelson, and he may get moved, and I know his value is super high. The way I would want to look at it is I would want someone, because especially, you know, looking at the way the Yami Gourde trade went down and all of that, the value they got back, I would like to see some sort of player you could kind of stick in the lineup to play for throughout the rest of the season, and then maybe a pick and a prospect, so, you know, nothing crazy, but just something that we could like plug in like a fourth line guy or something, and then you can get a second round pick with someone attached on like Lachance per se for the
according to Pagnotta, is that how you say his name, right? Pagnotta?
Pagnotta. Yeah, same shit.
Nelson's price tag is believed to include a first round pick.
Yeah, no, I know. When I look at the market right now, if you look at the premier rental centers, he's number one, because you're not going to trade for Pettersson, but
for sure.
Oh yeah,
I think if the way the Islanders are kind of looking at this is, I get it, like you need to look towards the future, and I understand that. I'm not making excuses. The team has been pretty banged up all year. It's been kind of a hit or miss year for them.
Horrible.
They've been in and out of the lineup. Varley hasn't been playing since December. Barzal's been, Duclair's been battling injury all year. Like, a lot of these guys haven't been healthy, and we haven't really seen what a full team looks like. I'm not saying it's great on paper, but trading your top goal scorer is kind of like, wow, we're really taking a step back in toward that rebuild direction. And if they want to do that, you can do that. But I think with the way they're built right now, I don't say necessarily you sign him long term, but if you keep Nelson and move Palmieri for like a second round pick or a fourth, you know, a second and a fourth or something like that, because I think teams like, you know, Colorado or a lot of these Western Conference teams,
Minnesota,
they need to add guys like that. I think they're willing to give up a little bit more than they have been in the past, especially again, when you look at the trade today, Yanni Gourde, that's a lot. I mean, they got Bjorkstrand and Gourde, but they gave up two firsts, the second, and, you know, a little bit extra. So I think there's a few things that can happen. I think more than likely Palmieri gets moved. I think Palmieri's been, they've been quiet about Palmieri. I think he's been with the team, you know, not as long. And I know Lou really values loyalty.
And it's also, it's a good point that you bring up, because I feel like with the Islanders, like the less they talk about someone that's good, that's the likely, more likely to be moved, more likely that they're going to be moved.
And I think for a guy like Palmieri, like I said earlier, I don't know if we're recording, but Casey Mittelstadt, I know they haven't really loved what he's been doing in Colorado. I think that's sort of a thing where you're like, you know, we'll give you Palmieri, you move on from Mittelstadt, it kind of takes the cap relief away for that 3.5 he has for the next few years, and you can live with that rental and sign someone in the offseason. So I think there's more of that kind of going on, but if they do move Nelson, yeah, I'm going to want a first-round pick back. I'm going to need a first-round pick back and something else, because he was on the Four Nations.
It's just, it's such a weird deadline with the whole cap situation.
It is.
Like, I think this summer, like this upcoming summer is going
to reset everything.
It's going to be cinema. It's going to be pure cinema. I haven't gotten a look at the UFAs and RFAs.
Emily Kaplan did say that the Rangers could be big.
No, the Rangers
players this summer.
They're going to have to be, dude. They're going to have to be.
I mean, we'll sign Tavares.
Dude, I would. I literally would in a heartbeat.
You could get him for a good deal. I mean, as much as I hate him, he's a hell of a hockey player.
Like, dude, there's going to be a, like, let me get a quick.
It's
going to
be a frenzy.
I'm just going to really fast look at the 2024 UFAs for the NHL. I really do believe that there's going to be, like, a big, like, $10 million plus dollar contract.
If Rantanen doesn't get a deal done,
Rantanen doesn't get a deal, does he play?
Like,
I was literally
like
just going to ask. I was going to ask about Mikko right now. Do we think he's going to be moved? Like, will they agree to a deal?
I think that organization is dysfunctional, and I really think they fucked up with this decision.
I don't know what it is. The thing about Rantanen is that ever since he came in, it seemed like they were treating him like a rental. Like, it never was like, they never made it where it was like, oh, like the GM, code, like Brendan Moore, no one came out and was like, we got our guy. Like, this is our guy. And meanwhile, they traded Marty Natchez, who...
An expensive rental. It doesn't really make sense to me.
Good.
I think expensive. Are you serious? I mean, he's been one of the hottest players in the league this season. So, like, when you trade a guy like that at his age, you want to be vocal and say, like, this is our guy. And for now to be the rumors circulating, it's too far gone. It really is too far gone. Will I be surprised if they re-sign him? No, because it's Carolina. They never fail to amaze me. But I do believe that this, the way that they've handled it, if I was a Hurricanes fan, I'd be really upset, because when you get a guy like Mikko Rantanen, I mean, you want to keep him around for five years. It doesn't matter how much he costs.
Yeah.
It felt like when they made that trade, it was like, okay, this is the guy. This is going
to
be.
I thought Ink to Pen was going to happen like 2 days later. I thought they were going to resign.
Carolina so desperately needed for years.
Yep.
So strange.
Do you see more of a world where he gets moved at this deadline if he's leaving, or does he just not re-sign in the offseason and this is just a complete failure for them?
To me, it's Look, it's going to come down to the playoffs. If they build something serious in the playoffs, like if in my opinion, I know it's Carolina's in a weird spot because they have a lot of expiring contracts too. Branton being one of them. I actually got to pull up the list. Taylor Hall they got as a rental, but Brent Burns needs a contract extension at the age of 39. Is he going to get one?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Dmitry Orlov, who has not worked out. I mean, he's on a $7.7 million cap hit. It's just been brutal for them. So again, a lot of money coming off the books. They're going to have enough money to sign Mika Rantanen. The question will be, is he going to want to get the most money? Which I think is just going to be that way. And the one team that's been circling is Chicago, because now you got a guy like Bedard, you get your goalie, you get rid of Seth Jones' contract. I mean, they're going to have, if they wanted to, they could probably send $20 million to Mika Rantanen. They won't, but that's the kind of money that Chicago is going to have. And I think Rantanen is the type of player where he's just going to want it to be like, yeah, I want the most money. So
they might have enough money to get him and Marner. I mean, they're kind of setting themselves up for a good spot here. I think if this goes down to where Carolina doesn't re-sign him and they have a second round exit and he leaves in the offseason, this could be one of like the worst trades I've seen in a very, very, very long time.
Let me go over a few of the rentals that I think could become available over the next couple of days or so as the deadline approaches.
Dylan Cousins?
Looking at a guy like Jason Zucker on Buffalo. He's got a $5 million cap hit. Andreas Athanasiou, they might want to re-sign him, though, depending on what route Chicago wants to go down. The Rangers have a couple guys as well, Riley Smith being one of the big names. I know Patrick Kane really likes Detroit. He's not going to get traded. There's no doubt about that. Brandon Tanev was the name that we spoke about a little bit early on the show. I think he's in a position where you add a guy like that to your team, like, forget it. Your bottom six is set. One guy that I jumped off the page for me for the Rangers side of things was always going to be on defense because it's just been really, really bad right now.
Yeah.
I really like Brian Dumoulin.
Not against the Isles.
I think Brian Dumoulin got moved already, though, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't he get traded already for the deadline?
Let's see. Brian?
No, he did not. So, yeah, no, so he's...
I was just going to say.
He's in Anaheim now, so maybe he did get traded. I don't know. I was looking at him a little bit earlier. I like his underlying numbers. He's also a guy that's a little bit older, but some guy you want to playoff push. So I don't know. I know we're talking a lot about the deadline, but I'm just so amped up for the offseason because it's just going to be massive, especially with Tavares and Marner both seeking a next.
Dumoulin was traded to Anaheim over the summer.
Yeah. Okay. So he's an option. He is.
Yeah. He is an option. What about, I saw one name. What about Mario Ferraro?
That's another guy, too, because he's with San Jose?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Johnny. Shout out Johnny. I know he loves Mario Ferraro. He's a big fan of him. So
also Scott Laughton as well.
Yeah.
Oh my God. His name's been getting thrown around for like 3 years.
But, yeah. I don't know. I think really a lot of teams are kind of like, you know, there's like three or four teams that want to make a big move, but they don't want to because of the offseason. If you're going to commit to a guy now, the price is going to go up substantially in the offseason. Oh, yeah. So a lot of teams aren't going to want to give up a lot of assets. Like, I don't think a lot of teams are looking to give up a lot for Riley Smith because they just understand that the impact isn't there and he's not going to want to probably re-sign in the offseason because he's going to want too much money.
Let me ask you guys about a guy like Jake Evans. I mean, he's making 1.7, 28 years old in Montreal. They've been kind of iffy this year. Does a team like Los Angeles or Toronto kind of make a move for that? Because he's not a low cap hit and he's, you know, a pretty good depth center to bring
in. I don't see why not. Linus Ullmark did lead the Senators onto the ice, but there may be a change in net, something to watch for. I don't think Ullmark's going to...
Didn't they just sign him?
No, come on, stop.
Oof. Oh, and this is... You know what? We've been talking about this guy for years, but I really... Is this the year maybe that John Gibson gets moved on from, or is this
I
just
feel like
kinda,
it's got to happen. They have
this got to happen at some point. Happen. Why not now?
I don't know.
But who would he go to?
Could a team like Edmonton possibly make some cap wiggle room for him? Maybe.
Maybe. But they're I don't know. I think Edmonton likes their roster a little bit too much right now. I don't think they're going to want to change things up. What I truly believe is that this deadline is going to just be a little bit of meh. I don't think Mika Rantanen is getting traded. I think Carolina's smarter than that.
I think the offseason is going to be a lot more interesting than this deadline.
Yeah, the offseason. I was just going to say. Yeah.
A lot of it's going to come down to what happens with Mika Rantanen, because then it goes from, okay, the offseason consists of Tavares and Marner and Ben and a lot of those guys too. Like, I think Stamkos got that big contract.
Yeah. My thing with the cap going up too is when Rantanen re-signs that deal, that it's like Soto re-signing. I mean, that's going to reset everything. A lot of these guys are going to want more money. There's going to be, so I think there's almost a need, not a need, but a want for teams to sort of kind of get some deals done now. and not have to worry about this going to the office. I mean, I saw today, who did Buffalo just re-sign? It's like an hour before we even got on.
Haru?
No. Jordan Greenway. They signed Jordan Greenway again. So, it's just something to think about. I mean, maybe see some new contracts coming in, because when that cap goes up, a lot of guys are going to want some more money, and it's going to be some different looks next year.
Like Jamie Benn, for example, right? That's another guy, too, so UFA. I mean, if I'm Jamie Benn, I'm like my career is getting...
Yeah, that's like a Blake Wheeler kind of thing.
You resign. Yeah. You resign.
Oh, my God. That's a name I forgot. Holy shit.
Jamie Benn?
He was a Ranger.
2015. I swear.
Something like that.
Damn.
At 81,
forgot
I
Blake Wheeler.
Dude, the Rangers got Blake Wheeler, Vlad Tarasenko, Patrick Kane. Come on, we've been there.
He's been everyone.
So, yeah, it feels like the 2000s where they
just get everyone.
You get everyone. Shanahan.
You get Leo Komarov and
Shanahan, like Coolman. Jokinen.
Yeah, Aaron Asham over here. Who do we have? Michael Pekka.
Aaron Asham.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. It's the playoff race. Like, everything just in a weird...
You want to know why it's weird? Because both of our teams fucking stink, all right? And I would really love to be in this conversation where, like, what are they going to do? But I really don't know what either of them are going to do. Because for how bad they have been, the Eastern Conference wildcard race has been worse. I mean, all these teams have been awful. Look at Boston. Boston's at 63 games, 64 points. They were 53 games, 64 points, but... It's just it's a mess in the East. I have no idea how it's going to finish out. I haven't seen a year like this in a really long time. I know last year was a nail biter for the Isles, but this is just a really bad race.
I feel like I say that like it's always a nail biter, but then it really is always a nail biter. I don't know if it's me being a spoiled Ranger fan, but we just haven't really been a part of it.
No,
like the last like
you haven't. No, you have a right to say that you haven't been a part of it.
The last like close tight race, which I remember, was Kreider's 50 goal season.
Yeah,
when they were playing against Carolina like twice at the end of the year, and like that was really close for the division. But yeah, the wildcard race is always tight. It's just different now when you look at the teams involved. Like it's been a complete 180. Again, you go from last year where it's the Rangers and Carolina and New Jersey in the top three, and now that Capitals enter the mix, Columbus is a wildcard team right now. The Rangers and the Bruins are both middling right now. The Penguins are nowhere to be found, because last year I remember they choked that game to the Blackhawks at the end of the season, but they were in the mix all season long.
Yeah, they were.
Buffalo was in the mix.
They collapsed.
I mean, like,
yeah.
Last question.
Here for Buffalo.
Last question. We got 15 minutes.
You
want to
talk about Buffalo? You want to talk about that train wreck? What the hell are they going to do there?
That's dirt. Last question, because we know you want to catch a Ranger game in 15.
That's okay.
Chris Kreider.
Sure.
No. Not this.
Is
not
he
this.
Going?
It's an off-season thing. I think he stays.
It's an off-season thing.
It has to be. Look, the Rangers have traded a lot of guys. I'm not, again, like I said, sentimental, whatever. They bought out Henrik Lundqvist.
We bought out Lundqvist,
We bought out DiPietro too, man. It's tough, I know.
It's business, but don't you dare. So, it's business, right?
I signed my shoe, man. Come on.
It's a business side of things, but...
Time out. Rick DiPietro signed your shoe?
And you didn't have anything for your Williams.
That's Aura, dude. That's Aura.
I found
Nassau Coliseum. Oh, like, you would just see him, like, walking. And no one cared, because it's like, this guy fucking blows when we signed him a 15-year contract. But, like, just walking around.
That's crazy. Yo, for real, like, they trade quite a deadline, like... That I mean,
that kind of kills your team, dude. That like it just rips the soul.
It does.
Tim, they were 12-4 when they announced that Trouba and Kreider were on the trade block.
Right, and then that completely went south. There's no reason to get rid of him now, especially now that you're winning. Like, what's the point?
Like, Tim,
Nashville and the Islanders.
Tim,
if we'd
be Winnipeg last night, buddy. I we're not that bad.
If I sat you down a week after the Rangers got eliminated by Florida last year, and I said to you that the Rangers would, in March, a week, 2 days before the deadline, would have traded Trouba, Lindgren, Kako, Hedl, and BC.
I wouldn't believe you. No.
I would have believed Trouba, because I felt like they were going to trade him over the summer, and then
I've been saying this since you got him. I have never liked him. I don't think he's a very good hockey player. And then you gave him the C, and that really was like the nail in the coffin. But I'm glad you moved on from that, because that was a joke.
The C was a nightmare.
That was a joke.
The fact that it wasn't Kreider or Zibanejad, it was a joke. It should have been either of those two. But for
now
me,
it might be Vinny Trocheck, which also is
even JT Miller.
Oh, I would do anything. I would do anything.
Love JT Miller like I love Barzal, dude.
But think about it this way. But Barzal is, like, if he's on a 2-on-1, he's looking left. JT Miller doesn't give a shit if Gretzky was on the left-hand side of him on the shot. He is going to rip that. He's going to shoot it as hard as he possibly can to try to score. And he did it against your guy.
Well, of course he did. You know who turned it? Tony fucking D'Angelo, if you rewatch that play. If you rewatch the play, he did. One, he turns the puck over. Two, he takes himself completely out of position.
How many own goals does he have as an Islander?
Like three, and he's been on the team for a month. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. There's two of them where he's legitimately shot them into our own net. Like, he's tried to block a shot.
You don't like Tony D'Angelo.
Like me and Shell.
No, absolutely love him. Besides the two games he played against you guys, he's been fantastic for us. He's been on workhorse for like 30 minutes a night. He's been great. Flying. Dobson, on the other hand, I got... Jesus Christ, that guy's killing me.
I think because you guys have a lot of listeners who are probably Devils fans, I think we need to talk a little bit about them, especially because of the Jack Hughes injury, and now they're probably in a position where it's not like they're... If anyone thinks the Devils are going to punt their season away, you're just buying the frame and juice.
They're going to make a move. And does it revolve around Simon Nemec? Because he hasn't worked out with them at all, and he hates being there.
Yeah, so I feel like it has to be... Around him, because he's not playing.
Do you think
they have
now? I'm not saying he's now. I'm not saying he's going to get traded.
Sure,
but do you just think that they might make a push for Rantanen?
That's who the guy I think. If they're going to make a move, a real big one, that's the guy they go after.
They can't afford him.
Did you lose?
I mean, how much money did they just put on LTI?
$8 million,
I believe.
Yeah, it wouldn't. I just don't think it would make sense for them. I don't, because if you do that, like, think about it, then you're paying. What? You're paying Meyer, what, $8 million? 8.8, I think. Hughes is making $8 million. He's off the books, but he's still making $8 million. Jesper Bratt's making close to $8 million. Nico Hischier's still signed to 7 point something for 3 years. I know Palat is on a supermax deal.
Yeah, but if there was a situation where you could somehow work this into the cap and you just move... Because, again, Simon Nemec was a top, what, three pick?
No doubt. If the Devils hit Rantanen, no doubt. But also... If you think Carolina is going to trade him to the team,
now, obviously interdivisional is tough. They'd have to get a great package back. But
This
might be a world where Luke Hughes might, if they can get him back, it might be like, oh, geez, we'll give you a little bit more here. And
again, if there's going to be a blockbuster for Rantanen, he's going out west. It's going to be to be to a team that could afford him for next season. He's not going to be a rental twice. If he's going to get traded, it's going to be a team like Chicago that can give them prospects, or Anaheim that can give them prospects. I wouldn't be surprised if Anaheim trades a guy like Leo Carlson, and Leo Carlson gets traded and they sign Rantanen the same day to $13 million extension. But Rantanen's going to stay and test the open market.
I think you're agree, because I don't see a world where Carolina gives up on Mikko Rantanen for a guy that's not going to be somewhat of an immediate impact as he is. I just don't think that makes any sense for them.
The only reason why they would give him up now is so that they don't lose him for nothing.
Right. But if you know that, then it's like, geez, already, then this whole thing's a dumpster fire. Because if that's the situation, then I'm sure you're losing the team a little bit. I don't think everything's going to be in sync. And I they don't scare me. They haven't scared me ever. I know they beat the Islanders all the time in the playoffs, but I mean, it's just a Stanley Cup contender. They don't scare me as a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, they don't. I agree.
That's fair.
Now this is officially the last question. Involving the Devils, gun to your head, this season, do the New Jersey Devils make the playoffs?
Yes, 100%. They're getting in.
I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but honest to God, I think there's a world where Columbus takes that three spot and they kind of fall out.
And the Devils get a wild card spot?
They don't. I think the Rangers take that other wild card spot and someone else takes the other. I just think they've been in such a downward spiral.
So for reference in the standings...
It's not as much of a gap as it should be.
It's not as much as a gap, yeah. Devils are third in the Metro with 72 points. Columbus has that first wild card spot with 68 points. They are also in the Metro. Rangers in the
Metro.
They got
two games in hand, by the way, Stan mentioned that. They got two games in hand.
Columbus also has...
They win those two games, they take the spot.
Can I make myself very clear?
Yes.
There is like a 0% chance they miss the playoffs. Because
so if you're telling me... No, listen, just listen to this. If you're telling me that Columbus, who if they win their next two games, gets to 72 points, and it would eventually in turn jump Jersey, you're saying there's no world where the Rangers can jump Jersey, and that, say, some team like Detroit and Ottawa can possibly jump a team like Jersey? What's Jersey in the last 10?
The argument here is that they lose Jack Hughes and they're four and getting worse, correct? That's the whole thing. Like, it's like you lose Jack Hughes.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of their biggest impact player.
No, he definitely was. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. And the way like guys have like Palat have been playing, don't get me wrong, for sure. But they lose Jack Hughes, and then you look at their roster still. And the most important thing for the Devils season, why they've been successful, is their defense. Jacob Markstrom's been a top tier goalie this season. And their defense actually has been really solid. They've been doing well. Dougie Hamilton, again, cannot stay healthy. But a lot of people don't remember that they have Brett Pesce, who's been outstanding. He's been very, very good for them. I think Brendan Dillon's on that backhand as well. Again, Luke Hughes, well, he hasn't been that great. Their defense has been rock solid. I know they have one of the better penalty killing units in the NHL. Their power play was really solid for a while. I just truly believe that it's going to take a miracle for them to miss the playoffs because, yeah, they're losing a 100-point scorer when he's fully healthy in Jack Hughes. But if they score two goals in a game, they're the kind of team that can keep other teams to one goal. It's been a rough stretch for them lately. Don't get me wrong. Like, look, think back to December and January. Stan, season was over. Done. Rangers, I'm done. There's no way they're doing anything. But then suddenly they start winning more games. And I think in the last 10, they won 7. So suddenly, and especially how tight everything is, all it takes is for you to go on a 4 or 5 game run and things can be a lot different.
Yeah, well,
especially in this Eastern Conference.
But that being said, it's a 4 or 5 game run the other way. They play Winnipeg next. They play Philly, which is a 4-point night. They play Columbus, which is a 4-point night. Edmonton, that's not an easy game. Pittsburgh, they probably win that one. They play Columbus again, another 4-point night. They got a lot of meaningful games coming up. And if you lose those meaningful games, you're starting to lose ground very, very quickly, especially with two games at hand from other teams. I just think there's a lot more in the standings left with the teams they have to play that the product they've been showing recently, their last few wins have been against what? They've been against Utah, and they've been against the last two wins against Utah and Nashville. And they've lost to all competitive teams that are in a playoff position right now. So I think when they go down the stretch and they play these harder teams, it's only going to get harder, and you're out Jack Hughes. I don't know. I just don't see it kind of coming to fruition for them. I just don't.
Do you really think Columbus is that good enough? No. Like, I think really if anyone's really going to jump into the third spot, it would be the Rangers. And again, I know it's been bad.
But that's my thing is I think the Rangers and Columbus kind of have that situation where either one of them can take the third spot, sure, but I think the one could jump over them in the wild card and easy enough like that. You look at Columbus's record at home. They're fantastic at home. Fantastic. Yeah. On the road, a little iffy, but if they could start to, come down the wire and string things together, I know people say Johnny Gaudreau magic all year, but they've been a pretty good team, and if they could piece some few things together and New Jersey kind of continues in the way they are, I don't see a world,
Listen,
possibly don't make it.
You and I are going to hold hands together down Pearl River if the Devils make the playoffs.
Of course we are. I hate them.
Me too. I hate them.
Yeah.
But I just truly believe, it's a team where... That's why I'm confident now with the Rangers, because I look at who's behind them and I'm the Rangers are kind of been there, done that situation.
This pains me to say it. They're better than them. Than them.
Who? The Rangers?
The Rangers are better than the Devils right now with Jack Hughes hurt. Yes, they are.
The defense for me. That's the only issue that I have is the defense.
You have better goaltending, and that serves a lot. He saves you a lot.
Markstrom's been great. He really has been really, really good. If you look at his numbers, he's been
awesome. Isn't he hurt too, or is he off?
I think he's back, off. Right?
Even if he's off, he's had a career of inconsistency. And when they've made the playoffs in those teams with Calgary, he hasn't, it's been nothing super special.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I truly believe that, you can say that the season starts now. I think the season, it's been all over the place.
Started at Four Nations break. That's really weird.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
All right.
I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm super nervous. If this whole conversation has told me anything, it's been the fact that I'm very nervous for the next... Tonight.
Tonight's a big one.
Welcome to the life of an Islanders fan. This has been me for the last, 6 years.
Why am I in a wild card race right now? Why?
Annoying this is? Hey,
this is not
Dude,
how...
I, you go, go through... Okay, go to 2022. I think that was the year they missed the playoffs. The Isles. There was a week where they cut it to 5 points and they went on an 8-game winning streak. And I'm listening to Spit and Chicklets playing roller hockey. Yeah, they choked. They choked real bad. But I'm listening to Spit and Chicklets the Isles win the next 3 games, they're in a playoff spot. And now I'm sitting here watching every game it's the Stanley Cup final and they lose. This is just what happens. So I would buckle in because it's not going to be fun.
Oh, it's so funny though.
Really Jake, closing remarks.
Man, this you guys always find a way to really bring out the joy in me in hockey. You guys really kind of motivate me to go deeper into my bag with the NHL. I know the first time you guys asked me to start this, we were sitting in a basement with my brother and some of our friends. So
you were on before
a little bit, yeah. But that was
it was
my one shining moment. I'm really excited to finish out the season here. Obviously, trade deadline coming up. I'm excited for you guys too, because this is March is the best time of the year for the New York Sports Exchange.
I'm just gearing up for the playoffs.
No, I know you guys are. I do have a college basketball question, actually, and I know we didn't get too much
into it. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Dan, I am riding with your Blue Devils. I want to just know, as one of the biggest Duke fans, probably the biggest Duke fan that I know.
Not even close. It's not even remotely close.
Yeah. What is your confidence level going into the tournament?
Jeez. Are you kidding me? He's been talking about this for like 2 weeks. He's like, this is the team to beat. This is the number one team.
With Auburn, with Florida out there, like seriously.
He doesn't even fear Auburn. He told me that he's like, Auburn.
We beat Auburn.
Yeah, exactly. This is what he said to me. I asked Jake, I don't know anything about college basketball, and I asked him the same thing, and he gave me the answers like, we're winning the title. He's like, we're winning the title. It was the best team ever. Best
Chad
team Baker Mazar
is 25 years old and still plays like Tim in third grade CYO. Like, let's
give you that.
Okay.
Three.
All right. So
I will say this. I will say this.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
For my real answer, yes.
Sure.
I think the two games that like really worry me, and for whatever reason, is always, especially with the one seed, the round of 32 game and the Sweet 16 game. Always worry the hell out of me.
Of course.
Because especially with the 8 seeds this year, it's going to be like UConn, Gonzaga. Like, there's some pretty like high level schools that are going to be 8 seeds. And I'm nervous. Like, if we have to match up with UConn, it's going to be scary. I know UConn's having a down year right now, but Dan Hurt, but they're back to back national champions for a reason.
Really. How many times do we say it in hockey, gentlemen?
Yeah.
No. You just got to get in.
Yeah.
You just got to get in.
Well,
that was
because, look, my cousin, you guys, honestly, like, seriously, shout out to Ethan Zaretsky, huge editor for Believe Sports and Believe Network. You guys would love to have him on for college basketball. He is, I mean, we're talking, he's staying up watching Eastern Michigan play basketball at 10:30.
That's this motherfucker right here. He won't admit to it, but I'll get him.
We should get him on. We need a large guy. Yeah.
I will get him to you guys. He would love to.
Please do, because I have no help with this. I got this guy in March. I mean,
he's
not even March.
There, it's
November.
We're in February, and this is last year, and I'm sitting there recording the podcast, and I'm talking, and all I hear is, he's like, oh, I got money on like the Eastern Michigan game. And I'm just like, what are you watching? And I look, he's like, look at his TV. And he's like, I got a backdoor cover. Oh, I need a backdoor cover.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm super excited for college basketball. I'm super excited for you guys. Obviously, hockey can't go wrong, but it's an exciting time.
We're going to have you on. We need you to have you on again at the end of the year, obviously.
We got playoffs.
We need to get Matt back, too.
I'll be here no matter what. I know. Matt is an anomaly. He's too big time, man. He was on New York.
That's Hollywood now. RPI hockey. Yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you, Stan, eventually I'm going to get my Buffalo Sabres buddy on here, and he'll try and break down the whole what the hell's wrong with them. Because that's like an hour and a half conversation of like, how are we going to break this down? I get him texting me today. He's like, I'm going to give you Sam Lafferty for Brock Nelson. I was like, I didn't even know you still had Sam Lafferty. I didn't even know you still had him.
Yeah. All right. We're more than an hour into this. My God, we still have to record an actual chunk of the episode. So that's going to be great.
That's good.
But anyway, Jake, as always, always a pleasure having you on. Go Rangers. Hopefully they fucking make the playoffs.
I love for you guys, man.
Praying.
I'm giving you good luck. I mean, we're in the same boat. It's blows. It's blows.
May the best team win. But that's sort of where I'm at. May the best team win.
It's Tampa.
It's Jake. Always a pleasure having Jake Zaretsky on to talk some puck. Nice little college basketball convo during and after.
Your favorite.
After. Love talking hoops, man. Just love talking hoops. Moving on to what I saw. Sam, I mean, I have like four.
I'll sneak two in.
Okay. All right.
They're both golf related. So for the golf fans here, this is going to be great.
This one's for you?
Okay. Yeah, I had some golf practice. I went to the sim. Front nine was great. Shot a 39 in the front nine. Back nine, my glove like ripped for 5 different times. So I was sweating through my palms so badly, I couldn't even grab my club. The back nine wasn't as great. The front nine was good. Second one I saw is actually, if anyone hasn't seen it yet, the John Daly and John Daly Jr. versus Phil and what's his fate? I don't know. No, it's not Bob. It's he was on Good. I don't remember his name, but it's a kid. I don't know. I don't. Whatever. If you look up John Daly and John Daly Jr., they had a golf match with Phil Mickelson and some other YouTube. I can't get. Is it Garrett? I will never know the name. I can't remember it. But they did a golf match, and if you haven't watched it, it's phenomenal. I love the way John Daly just does not care about the game, and he's so good. It's just so. It's like appealing to watch. If you're a golfer. And you watch this guy putt with one hand with a cigarette and the other one in a beer, and he's sinking like a 20-foot putt with one hand. It's like, Jesus Christ, why can't I be that good? Yeah, I have that same feeling. Dear golf fan, check it out.
He was a great player to play as in like Tiger Woods PGA Tour.
John Daly. Oh, fun fact, 04. Stan. I don't know if you knew this, but prior to 2004. 2004, he was the only person on tour to average a 300 plus yard drive from 1998 to 2004. Only person on tour. So he was
like so caught. No.
Unbelievable, right? The technology is crazy. But he was out driving dudes by 40 back in the day. That's why he was winning all those tournaments, because guys were driving the ball and he's driving it 40 yards further. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do anything about it. What do you like? Yeah, he's better than you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Goodness. I have like four what I saw. Actually, three, because I can't think of the last one. My first one I saw is John Cena. I haven't watched wrestling in like 10 years. They turned John Cena heel. And he also joined forces with The Rock and Travis Scott.
I don't know the whole storyline, man.
Travis Scott. I don't know either, but it's just very funny to me how...
What
it's very
wrestling's
funny to me.
Turned into?
Yeah. Because like I kind of like dove into a rabbit hole, per se, and apparently everyone's like, this is the golden age. Like, this is just like...
It was the golden age, man. Now it's not.
Apparently, like, everyone's saying, like, right now, like, if you haven't watched wrestling in a while, or, like, were just, like, never a fan, now is, like, the perfect time to get into it.
Have you been to a match?
I've never been to a WWE event in
Should
my life.
Should we go to one?
Never in my life.
I could probably I could probably score us tickets for, like, super... I could probably get us, like, almost free tickets.
Let's look at it. Let's fuck it.
Dude, my buddy Holden, whose dad works for the Syracuse...
They're at the Garden on Monday.
Of course they are. My buddy Holden, whose dad works for the Syracuse Crunch, can get us almost free tickets to, like, any A&W match.
Oh.
AEW, whatever.
This is even bigger. SummerSlam in August is that
Ted MetLife? What are we sitting in the notes, please?
Ted MetLife.
How does that work?
I mean, I know that I've heard that they've like done shit. There's also something at the Hulu Theater too, like for pretty
Should
cheap.
We go? Because I know Scanlon used to be a fucking massive WWE guy.
I used to be pretty into it too. But like
I never got into it.
Like,
I was too busy watching Sean Bergenheim in Long Island every night.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, I was just gonna say you were too busy clamoring over Islander hockey. Yeah, the only shit that they have within like the next calendar year would be So then the Garden on the 10th.
Maybe a little grad present then, coming your way. SummerSlam.
Congrats, SummerSlam at MetLife.
I got us tickets. You wouldn't hate that at all. You would love it.
I wouldn't hate it at all. Because I get fucked up and just scream shit.
From the upper deck. Bring out Triple H.
It's a two-day event, too.
Oh, my God. Should we get an RV and just sit in the parking lot?
A two-day pass. $61.
I didn't realize it was still this big, man. Are they doing a cage match? A ladder match for Donovan? Whatever that fucking thing was,
like
I guess.
The custody of Dominic ladder match. I saw a tweet, like, I don't know if it's true or not, and like we're gonna post this clip on TikTok. I'll just disclaimer, wrestling people that see this, I have not watched a lick of WWE in
been
maybe
years,
10
man.
Years.
It's been years. You know what's hilarious, Dan? If we really wanted input on this, I got a buddy who still watches WWE. Like a legit like
call him up right now. Call him up right now. Like dial the number and call him up right now. Call him up. Because this is absurd.
I got out of like, right now. I bet he'll pick up.
Yep.
Dude, what are you doing?
Wow, Hollywood, my God, he Hollywooded you.
Dude, you know what though? He's the equipment. Oh, he's coming back.
Hold it.
I got a wrestling question for you.
Tell him he's live on the New York Sports Exchange podcast.
Yeah, you're on the podcast.
You don't
want to
say
right
anything.
You're on the podcast right now. All right, Stan, what's the question you want to ask?
So, like, how monumental is John Cena turning heel?
Okay. How monumental is John Cena turning heel?
Massive.
Like, how massive? Like, if we're talking,
like
is this, like, a revolution? Like, scale 1 to 10. Like, this is the biggest it's been?
Like, a 9.
All right. I told you, Stan. What would make it as big as it gets? Is there something that can make it bigger? All right. That's what we needed.
That's all we needed. Because, like, yeah, that's kind of all we needed. Thank you, Holt.
I appreciate it, Holt. Thanks, Holt. Yeah, appreciate it. All right,
see
you, man. Shout out Holden. Huge WWE fan. Like, loves it. That's the kid that can get us free tickets, by the way. Like, he can get us free tickets.
Get us that two-day pass.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what SummerSlam. You're like, oh, I can get you free tickets to a Jets game. Now you're asking for the Super Bowl. Let's pump the brakes.
get fucked up at MetLife Stadium to go to fucking wrestling.
We'll figure that one out. That's
$1,500.
I told you, dude, he'd have the answer. How big is that? Like a 9.5. Like, I told you, he'd have the answer.
9.5. John Cena becoming the bad guy. Yeah, but anyway, I was just going to say, we're going to put this clip on TikTok. I'm basically, you know how John Cena is like the leader of Make-A-Wish? Like, he has the most Make-A-Wishes.
That's his thing. Like, yeah.
Apparently, WWE has trademarked the term Break-A-Wish. So that's going to be funny.
Ugh. Is McMahon still running
this? That's going to be hilarious. No. I did some research. It's Triple H.
I know
Triple H is running this shit.
I didn't know Triple H is running. I know McMahon wasn't still there. Do you think McMahon after that?
I knew McMahon.
Whatever they put. Did you watch the documentary that they put up?
I did. I was gonna watch it.
It's
no, but
so
here's the thing.
Good.
Here's the thing. I'm so like familiar with him. It was basically kind of like a documentary. Like if
like
you
a
weren't
recap?
Familiar with,
yeah,
him.
Like a recap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like, I kind of like knew like all the shit that he did. So I was really
funny.
Looking forward to it.
Dude, in that interview, he was talking, he's like, oh, I would love to tell you some of the stories, like, what was really going on there. And they're like, well, say him. He's like, I can't. I was like, well, what the fuck does that mean? What the hell was going on?
My next one I saw is Casey Anthony. This is a
dark term. God. Back in law? Yeah.
Yeah. What a fucking, for those who don't know, Casey Anthony is a horrible mother.
Worst of the worst.
She's the worst of the worst. She killed her child.
She's one of those people, if you ask, like, you could kill someone and, like, not have any penalty to it. Who would you do it to? It's probably, like, that's a good
it's
answer.
Probably Casey Anthony is a popular, I'd say she'd get half the vote. Yeah, she would get half the vote. There's really, so for those that don't know, Casey Anthony is now working for the lawyer that helped her get off. And now she is a legal advocate for women's violence and LGBTQ violence, I believe. Something along the lines of that. She made a TikTok and turned off all the comments on her video. Wonder why. And she made a Substack, which is kind of like a other version of GoFundMe, if I'm not mistaken. That's what Substack is.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like it's the donating.
It was
website.
Basically telling people to donate. And the one part that killed me was, I've been in the legal field since 2011. And I was like, so when you were on trial for killing your kid and you got away with it?
Yeah, that's a great example. I mean, sure.
Honestly,
you're like,
Casey Anthony should run for president because that might unite the country.
To go against her? Yeah.
Yeah, like just to go against her.
I've
like
heard
that,
John Cena.
That is... yeah.
Who's the bigger villain?
God. Good God. But like, they're... How? Like, and like, the funny thing is, it's like, she's like doing this shit for like all the people. How about you try to find, you know, the person that killed your kid? Because you didn't do it in the eyes of the court. So maybe you should go keep on finding that guy that killed you.
That's what the GoFundMe's for. That's what the GoFundMe's for.
Yeah.
Her and John Cena are going to find who did it.
Stop it.
Joke.
Makes me sick. Like, I watched that Peacock documentary on her, and she was like, do you know that clip where it was like their parents were like talking to her? She had no remorse at all. She somehow like got away. And this is why I miss Nancy Grace. Nancy Grace fucking like flamed her on national television every chance that she got. And like the lawyer was on doing an interview with her. She was like, so, like, do you have an explanation for what Casey was doing the 4 days Kaylee went missing? And the lawyer goes, Nancy, you should know this as a lawyer, that this falls under attorney-client privilege. And it's like, so it's important. Why does it fall under the attorney-client privilege?
There's a lot of questions.
Explains her whereabouts.
Exactly.
So stupid. So dumb. Fuck off, Casey. Just go away.
Please. I thought she was away.
I thought she was too, and then all of a sudden Peacock's making a documentary about her.
Will they not make it?
I've watched that whole...
I will still say this till the day the stupidest documentary I've ever seen was that bullshit Trey Turner standing ovation. Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my God, that was so
bad. It was a playoff series! Suck my dick! I hate that one. That one makes me so mad, because how the fuck was Netflix like, this is a great idea? This is a great idea. And how does that go through?
So
like, the team that lost in the first round. How is this a great idea? It's a great idea. Like, what are you doing? Just stop it.
And then my last one I saw is Pat
Jose
Roberts.
Reyes.
For those who don't know. Jose Reyes.
It was an interview and they were like, what's one MLB player you don't like? He just straight up was like, I don't like Chase Utley.
Oh, wow. My last one I saw is Pat Roberts, friend of the program, met his childhood hero. Really. He met Steph Curry.
Wow.
He met Steph Curry last night. Do you want to see the picture?
Was it at the game?
at the Garden. He met Steph Curry.
I did not ever expect that to happen.
Shout out Patty Ice, man. Let me check. It was on Facebook.
I think Oaks actually posted.
Here it is. There it is. Pat Roberts, Steph Curry.
Wow. I never thought it would happen. Shout out Pat Roberts.
I never thought of shout out him, man. Unbelievable. I wouldn't bet anyone on that. Imagine if I met A-Rod or Eli. I would wash myself.
A-Rod's your hero?
Oh yeah, man. Come on.
You like A-Rod over Teixeira?
Yeah. Another one that made me laugh. Let me ask you, hold on.
I didn't even A-Rod or Jeter? Or Mariano, if you were to meet one of the three.
Well, Mariano.
I'm talking sit down. Well, we don't know that. I mean, I don't want to go. I didn't want to go down that road. Leave it over there. Best ERA in playoff history?
If we had the opportunity to sit down and have a meal.
Like, sit down, have a meal, and have a real chat A-Rod. With one of these guys. A-Rod? All right, I like it. He's got more stories than anyone.
It'd be A-Rod. I originally had three, and then
Is he your favorite Yankee of all time? I don't want to butt in again, but. Yeah, was it Didi?
I think it's A-Rod, not Didi. A-Rod, I think it, God. My top five would probably be A-Rod, Jeter, Rivera.
Judge.
And then, honestly, probably Giancarlo Stanton right now.
That's fair. I wonder if Hideki was going to get in there. I don't know if he was.
Godzilla's an honorable mention. I'll say that. Godzilla is definitely an honorable mention there. Another what I saw, Heat Daddy. Tim and I follow this kid. This guy is fucking hilarious.
Who doesn't follow Heat Daddy?
He posted a video of the world's largest concert of all those people playing drums and singing to All Apologies by Nirvana, but the Rangers goal song is in the background. And he said, Rangers fans, when Matt Rempe elbows another player directly in the head, which I'll be the first to admit, yeah.
Happens a lot. It's not his fault. True. He's tall. He's 6'9". It's not his fault.
Sarah Palin responded to Heat Daddy by saying, and then Heat Daddy said, high as hell eating Chinese food, and I just got a text. Sarah Palin tweeted at you. Sarah, what's up? You are sneaky hot.
Just a beauty. He's just a beauty.
You know who she's dating, right?
Who?
Ron Duguay.
Really?
Yes.
That's really random that's...
Just to be a fly on the wall for that relationship.
Really weird.
Former MSG Network analyst Ron Duguay and former New York Ranger with former Republican vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin.
It's just a weird dynamic.
Imagine the conversations.
All about Butch Gordon.
I remember Duguay once recommended that we move Miller to wing during playoffs, and everyone was like, all right.
Let's can him here.
Okay. All right, Ron. Oh, my God. All right. What an episode, really.
That was great.
That's a great episode. Great episode. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram. Nah, we're not on X anymore. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. There we go. Be sure to like this video on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube, leave a comment on our video. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars?
5 stars only. And we will see you guys next week, hopefully for a little conference tournament preview. This is March. The Ides of March are looming. It's March, baby. Can't wait. All right. Peace out, guys.